Hi, I'm Alex, and I am super duper.
You are totally. I totally agree with this.
He's absolutely.
And wait, who are the rest of you?
Well, this is your show today.
Oh, okay.
Totally. This is the Super Alex show. We're just here finally. For support.
The controlling power.
And then we will dominate the conversation, right,
my
Doc?
Vein.
Absolutely.
Right, this is what they do. Like, he sets me up and then interrupts me the whole time.
Failure is imminent.
Uh-oh.
All right, so I am the junkie again?
You can be the junkie, then that makes me natural.
Naturally ninja?
The natural ninja doctor?
Yes, ninja right. Doctor.
That's Dr. Dennis, and we are...
The supernatural junkies.
Wow. Woo.
Hey, folks, it's Dr. Dennis from Supernatural Junkies. I just want to talk to you today about Protandim. I've been taking Protandim for a few years, and you know what? I feel a difference. I am younger than my age. At least I think I am. Anyway, Protandim is a strong antioxidant producer in your body because what it does, it causes your body to increase its glutathione production. And glutathione, folks, is the strongest antioxidant your body has. So if you want to keep strong antioxidants in your body and be a healthier you, I suggest you use Protandim.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Supernatural Junkies. This is Alex, and I'm here with Dr. Kevin and Dr. Dennis today.
That's right, and that's the most subdued I've heard Alex in quite some time.
Well, yeah, she has a supernatural ear impaction.
Yeah, she does. I have a supernatural ear infection or rupture or perforation. And it's super fun.
Kevin, I told you have to stop blowing in her ear.
I know.
Seriously, it's just like a whole hurricane ear tornado.
That's snoring in your ears.
So, yeah, I'm going to be a little low key.
So, you're going to be the low key junkie today?
Finally,
low key junkie.
Finally, Dennis, we're going to be able to get a word in edgewise.
I'm always talking over them. I know. It's ridiculous.
That's an oxymoron.
We have a lot of words to get in, right?
Right.
Dennis, you
you'll be able to get them all in today.
Yeah,
so, suck it up, guys. Suck it up.
But
just
I think
enjoy.
They're going to accumulate, and then
revel.
She's just going to come in with something amazing, right?
Yeah, absolutely, we know that.
She's
and then we'll be like
supernaturally going to bomb us.
That's right. She's going to bomb us from
spam them
far
right.
away.
Like. Troll. I'm going to supernaturally troll them.
She's good at that. She can do it. You can do it, Wonder Woman.
You can do it. Just do it. Come on, Alex. You can do it.
I need stronger pain medicine.
Well, I think while we're talking about implosion today and or continuing our implosion narrative, what we did from last episode.
It's a sad
implosion. So we're going to go in with 2 Peter 3. I'll start at verse 1 where it says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all the things continue as they were from the beginning of creation."
And that's the argument today, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Haven't seen anything supernatural since Jesus came out of the grave.
Right.
And that
right.
changed history, but since then, yeah, nothing.
Well, remember that when the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted a sign from Jesus, he said, this generation wants a sign, but there's not going to be any sign but the sign of Jonah. And that was that he was buried for 3 days and he rose again, right?
That's right. So it's really important for us to realize that...
I thought they were talking about the whale.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't saying he is a whale.
She's back.
Wow. Sorry. Okay, we're going to get some good bombs today.
It's non sequitur Alex to the rescue.
Is that Jonah?
Jonah.
It's not Fish slappers.
Not Moby Dick.
Right? Fish slappers.
Well, you know, when you read that verse, I love that verse because it tells you people are just looking around at each other and they're saying, where is the promise of his coming?
Absolutely.
Right? And when I was a kid, I can remember even on normal, regular television, they say, when is Jesus going to come back? They could say that right on national television, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't imagine anybody even making a reference to that at this point, right?
Well, yeah, and I often wonder what Jesus meant that said, when, upon his second coming, if he would even find faith.
Do you remember
he said that?
Yes. And so you think about the faith that literally changed the planet. You know, how did that get so under attack and so diminished? You know, and then we get this idea of the elect, right?
Mm-hmm.
That the elect are the ones who are his family members, right? And so it's only his family members that aren't going to forget.
Which, right, the elect or the remnant, right?
I
mean, that's what God has left. And I think that's, hopefully, we consider ourselves in that remnant. And we hope there's many out there that consider themselves in that remnant. And I think part of that is that, you know, you need to keep looking and be aware of what's going on.
Well, you know, and we do. We are all looking around. And I mean, I talk to a lot of people that really believe Bible prophecy. And they see all these things happen and they go, yeah, I don't see that this is the end times even. I mean, they'll say that. Again, it's just like they say there that everything is just continuing on. This is just another phase. This is another political movement, you know. And this is why when you look at this verse, it says there about basically pursuing their own evil desires, right? And so what is that evil desire? It's really pride, right?
Well, No different than the verse we read last week about from Romans 1, and that they know that there's a God, but they suppress the truth.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, everybody, even if it's the secular world, they still know that if and when Jesus comes back, that's the end. Like, everyone knows that. They know that much about the story. They might not know anything else, but they do know that. So why admit that? But it's also part of that being entertained to death. Like, nothing's really happening in the world because I can, you know, go and just watch TikToks endlessly, or I can be on Instagram. Like, so there's a disconnection to reality as well. And I think that's part of the lull. But we also know that if these people aren't in the Word, there's something supernatural that comes into your heart once you expose yourself to the Word. And there is, and I've stated before, we've talked about it, there really is something about that. And so I believe, like, this numbness is more than just being entertained to death. It's a numbness being lured by Satan. There's, you know, because those are the things of Satan. Look at it this way. Those are the gifts of Satan, right? And so if you partake...
We have the gifts of the Spirit.
Right?
Gifts
and well,
there's
the gifts of Satan.
Being
entertained
by stupidity. You've even seen that verse in the Bible before,
Doc? Well, yeah. Well, no, what I'm thinking about when you said that, I'm thinking about the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. And you look at the temptations that Satan tempted him with.
Yeah.
We are tempted with the same ones, but Christ didn't fall to those temptations.
Right.
He rebuked them with the word. And that's what we're to do. If we're to imitate Christ, we have to rebuke him with the word. Now I'm speaking to the Christians out there. The only way you can do that is if you're in the Word of God every day. We have to be. We have to be in the Word. What did Paul say in Romans 12? That we don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that we're supposed to be living sacrifices. What does that mean? That means you're supposed to be connected to your Lord and Savior.
Yeah. That's right.
And that's what it means.
Right, and there's so many easy ways to do that nowadays. I mean, with a lot of these temptations and ease of whatever, you know, at your fingertips, that also means the ease of getting that delivery of the message, right? The Bible, that's also easily found with all these other tools out there now too. So there's no excuse not to, even if you just have, you know, 10 minutes on your way to work or something. There's all these apps that are free that
if you don't have time to read in the morning, listen to it on the way to work or what have you. I've done that before too. Because sometimes I woke up late or something, so then I'll listen to it on the way to work just to get some. It's like going to the gym, Doc. You just came back from the gym. You work out, right? You're
the pompadorium. I've been to the pompadorium.
You bump up.
But I'm huge right now.
But we're exercising muscles. Well, we have to exercise our spiritual muscles too.
Also, this is a good time to mention, I didn't bring this up for this reason, but Supernatural Junkies, we will be doing a Bible reading app soon. We'll be doing the New King James Version, and it's about 10 to 15 minutes a day going through the entire Bible.
You guys didn't tell me about that.
I'll let you know when it
We're
hits.
Doing it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to pump everyone up, yeah.
That's right.
But it's really true. I mean, that's what we have to do.
Right.
Well, let me just say something else. Okay, now, it has made such a huge difference in my life to have a woman of God that I'm married to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It makes a huge difference. And just having her in my life is amazing. But also to have family and friends. And so a lot of people know, I mean, they don't have that heritage in their own family. And I've got it throughout my family. It's just a stunning, really, that I really don't have any of my cousins that don't believe.
Yeah.
And let alone my brothers and sisters. So,
that's awesome.
And no one would say I'm probably a bigger jerk in the world than some of my family members. But at the same time, we still go to dinner.
We still go to dinner.
We still have get-togethers, and we're still all about family. So even though we can be difficult people, mm-hmm. having people like that in your life is a life changer, because you get to be yourself, and there's no getting rid of your family, because this is who we are, and we work through this together. So if you don't have family, God desires for you to have a spiritual family. This is really what you're going to need mm-hmm. to get through what's really coming.
Mm-hmm.
When I look back at these last two episodes, and hopefully you get to go back and see the writing on the wall. And then, when I think about that, that's the one I was probably stewing on the longest, because I really feel like America doesn't even know basic history. And how our nation stacks up to other empires that have ruled the world or done really well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this pride. There's this pride in America. People aren't even thinking about how we could be completely taken down and destroyed. And there's a few reasons why I think that way that's going to come out later. But then we go to the harbingers. Okay. And again, Jonathan Cahn. And you go back to the Isaiah 9:10 effect. And the first thing it says is that the bricks have fallen, right? It talks about how there's this disaster and how all of that, I mean, literally, not only did the bricks fall, mm-hmm. but we said the same things that mm-hmm. Israel said, exactly the same,
yeah.
in our own government by world leaders, right? Mm-hmm. The same kind of tree yeah. was knocked down. The yeah. same kind of tree that it was replaced with was knocked down. And that this was a symbol of the roots. And the fact that it happened where it happened was the symbol of our prowess economically, yeah. Wall Street.
Yeah.
Right? And that tree was a buttonwood tree.
Right. Right. That I didn't even know.
A buttonwood tree happens to be a sycamore tree, the same kind of tree, but that was a symbol of the buttonwood agreement
yeah.
that started the New York Stock Exchange. And mm-hmm. so you see here this uprooting of that tree.
Mm-hmm.
The financial resources is really crucial, because that's what we're going to jump in right away today.
Yeah, but I think a lot, Doc, too. I mean, it's one thing is that, when you talk about these signs and so forth, and not even the people within the body of Christ see these signs.
No.
Okay.
It took a Jewish rabbi, and again, that's why we take our hats off to Jonathan to help us see this.
Yeah, but I mean, I think what Alex was just saying about the distractions, that are so many distractions around us, and entertainment is a giant distraction. We have the programs on the television, we have sports, mm-hmm. we have all these distractions taking us away from our root, which is Jesus, right?
That's right. The Judeo-Christian ethic.
Mm-hmm.
It is impossible to argue that the Judeo-Christian ethic was not the source of the founding of this country and the foundations for our ideas, the foundations of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But like Rome, we talked about that in that writing on the wall, how they became obsessed with sexuality.
Yeah,
they became obsessed with entertainment. You see, and you start to see these parallels that, again, they're being divorced from the reality around them. Well, what was the reality? their implosion was actually imminent.
Yeah, absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? And so this is why we wanted to go this way, because again, pride. It is the pride of America. The number one thing that people will say when you ask them about any problem, well, in the richest country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Doc, tell us how rich we are. Tell us what our national debt is.
I think we're at $31.4 trillion. I just looked at this morning, and that's $94,000 to you and me and everybody else.
Is that all?
That means...
I'll take three.
So roughly, wow. That's $380,000, okay, that my family is in debt. Yeah. $380,000.
Well, I'm glad it doesn't show up on my credit report.
Exactly.
Seriously.
But can you imagine being $94,000 in the hole, and then not realize, and then think to yourself that this isn't a problem?
Well, I think, like we said, I think a lot of people are saying, "Wait a minute, this is ridiculous. This is monopoly money. We're not going to pay this back. There's no way." What are they going to do? Are they going to come back with debtor's prison? What, you know, these type of things. That's the type of mindset, and they don't believe it's going to happen. And then we see what happened just recently, right, Doc? We were talking about a little instability going on in our banking system.
Two banks. One, I guess, was in New York, and another one was out in California. And we have the first fall of two financial institutions right here in America. And again, you know, it's funny, you watch all the stuff, but when Walmart came out with their projections back in late January, early February, you know, you're like, it was surprising what they were saying that about the American people and how anxious they are and how the sales have not really returned, you know. And so you start to see here that the bricks are still falling, that right. Our financial system has been... You know, we had the greatest economy we've ever had, and all of a sudden we're in depressionomics, right? And you got to remember too that COVID put out, in a lot of states, 50-60% of the small businesses went under.
Mm-hmm.
This was people that lost everything they had.
Right, right.
And these are the people that, you know, a small business owner is what America's built on. This is the health.
They don't like that.
They are the health of our country.
Yeah, but they don't want anybody. That's right. Having that independence of small business.
No.
But this goes back, you know, all the way back to the inception of the Fed back in 1913, and then throughout, and then we come to the 1970s and coming off the gold standard, and then we really got into debt accumulation with more wars, and then 9/11, like we talked about last episode, that was the big hit to our financial system. And that was the great sign that was right, the sign of our economic power, right, the Twin Towers. And meanwhile, that's what started this current mess that we're going through right now, because that created the debt bubble that blew up in 2008, and then it's never really truly recovered, because the Fed has just been just doing quantitative easing and just giving free money to the banks.
So, you know, we can start to see this financial implosion based upon our debt. We can see the economy.
Mm-hmm.
We can all see the costs. I mean, vehicles, a lot of vehicles have doubled in price.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, doubled. You start to look at all these things, and these are things that every American sees around them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet now we have all these engineered shortages that we've talked about. And these are all the things that the communists did to create the implosion of their own country so that they could get communism, right? That we wouldn't have these shortages. So they're engineering this stuff, and literally that's the situation. So we can see that economic. But when we think about all the reasons we've talked about, last week we really went back to some scripture that really is prophetic of America.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go to the prophetic third lens, and that is that we have our Bible as a guide about what the future really holds. And here's some of the gist of it. The Bible absolutely claims that Jesus said that he would come back, right? And we covered Luke 21, and we like that one the best in our book just because of the way it has a verse, Luke 21:28, talks about when you see these things, we're supposed to stand up, and we're supposed to lift up our heads. But one of the things that it talked about in there is that Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he says to them, that they're going to be taken captive, that every part of the Jerusalem and the temple is going to be knocked down,
mm-hmm.
and that they're going to be led away captive, and that this would go on until the times of the Gentiles was fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that sign that it was fulfilled? That Jerusalem would no longer be trodden down of the Gentiles. It means that Israel, people of that lineage, were in control of the city of Jerusalem. And that was dormant for 2,000 years. But in 1967, mm-hmm. that's what happened. And I believe that the prophetic clock started ticking.
Mm-hmm.
And that Israel is the super sign that we really have. But there's a few other things, and we'll go back to Israel, I think. But when you look at this prophetic sign, here's a few things, and I don't know exactly if we've ever said them. But when you look for America in Bible prophecy,
mm-hmm.
most people are going to say that we're mostly not there. Okay? Now, we can cover some theories out there, and I absolutely have a few theories, but again, they are theories, right? Because mm-hmm. Bible prophecy requires speculation.
Yeah,
but here's the gist of it.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Israel is going to be the center of a controversy. Okay? And we also know that there's a coming one world government. And this government is going to come into the world like we talked about, through a cause. It's going to have a mark, yada, yada, yada. So when you think about this one world government in the template of Babylon and Media Persia and Greece and so on and so forth and Rome, you think about how could that ever happen if America is here? How would the American people ever put up with any of the things that seem to be talked about there? And so you get
how did they put up with any of the things that went on with COVID?
Well, that's what I'm saying. And you start to see now how they would.
Mm-hmm.
But especially when I was thinking through this initially, you think to yourself, I mean, this is the bottom line. Most people just feel like either America implodes or we're destroyed or something happens to us, because clearly the biggest obstacle, I mean, if you just logistically look at this, the biggest mm-hmm. obstacle to a one world government is the destruction of America. And that
or
is
our constitutional form
right.
of government.
That's right. And so you look at this and you see that the World Economic Forum has absolutely mm-hmm. targeted us.
Right, right. But when we say the destruction of America, right away people think, well, what are they going to do? They're going to bomb us. There's going to be an EMF. Yeah. They're going to be this. I think it's more of the frog in the water analogy.
Agree.
And I think what they're doing is they're assuming us into this world. That's what we see what's going on with the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. And what they're trying to do is to assume us into the world system, which is this going to be this one world system.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that by subverting our Constitution. They don't have to destroy it physically. They just subvert it. And that's what they've been doing with everything.
Mm.
Well, and that's what we kind of made the, you know, when we did the handwriting on the wall, we can see the New World Order here in America. We talked about how our own capital, you know, this is really something we need to go through, that the New World Order people are here. They're virtually in control of our country. It's really difficult to come up with any conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we do want to lay all of that out there. The truth is we don't know. There are weapons in this world, and we will talk about some of them, that could easily take out America. Again, I've already mentioned it, but the bottom line is when you don't have a border and you just had 9/11, okay, they only had a few cell groups that pulled that off. Right?
Yeah, right. You
go with 1,000 times that.
Right.
And you think back to that. Remember Kissinger talking about how, you know, we would be outraged that the United Nations troops are here, but one day we'll be thankful. And he talks about this outside attack. And so, again, you can see that they're going to come up with, the Bible is telling us, if they're going to get a world government,
mm-hmm.
they have to come up with a cause, something that seems to justify losing all of our freedoms.
But right? But I'm not playing devil's advocate here, okay? But what I'm saying is that they're already doing that.
There's no doubt
that the cause was COVID. They even admit it. They said the world. What do you think? Why Schwab say the Great Reset, and you can see the assumption of the American country politic being assumed into the world system. So, elimination of the border. What happened the last 2 years? How many millions of people have come across our borders?
And you don't have a country if you don't have a border.
That's right.
So we're already, this is like the blob. Remember the movie, The Blob? Mm-hmm. And the blob coming in and just invest in
well, there's no doubt. That's what's happening. That's what we see. And the minute we know that this virus was man-made, we knew that it is what? An act of terrorism.
Sure.
And everybody that capitulated with that terroristic act, including our previous two presidents,
mm-hmm.
current and previous,
yes.
they capitulated. Everybody capitulated.
Yep.
And they went along and gave these people what they wanted. And what did they want? They wanted to destroy America
mm-hmm.
financially, economically, and now killing people.
Yeah.
And then they turned around and did it with the vax.
Right.
And then we talked about how even Pfizer's patented, you know, some ingredients that happened to have, you know, something radio identifiable, you can even be tracked and settled. That was August of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So they've put tracking devices in us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they even mentioned the graphene oxide, which we've been talking about for 2 years, and
yeah.
how why this is showing up in people's blood.
Yep.
This is all the things they did to us, and these people are walking around.
Right, right. Well, Alex, do you have any thoughts on that?
Nope.
Come on, drop a bomb.
Got nothing.
Come on, you got it.
It's empty.
I
in
saw
there.
Something.
Like, stuff's just rattling around.
It's rattling
today.
Around.
Like little tumbleweeds blowing by.
Well, I think I agree, Doc, and I think, but that's what I'm talking about. It's more of a simulation than it is of conquering from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is that they're assimilating us into the system,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I see. I mean, I'm no prophet.
I agree.
But, you know.
I agree with you, and really, especially the first episode where, you know, Mini Mini Tiku Yafarsin, the writings on the wall.
Mini Mini
right?
Mini Mo.
She loves that. I knew that. Get out.
Lama Lama Lama. Da ding da ding da dong. Shoo bop shoo bop. Yip
boop boop. You gotta start it now.
She's like, who knew she could speak perfect Hebrew? You know, but then you go back to, you know, Matthew 24, and of course Luke 21 is a parallel to that, where you talk
sure.
about wars and rumors of wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to say something about that, you know, when people talk about, and this is a big issue to me, but when people talk about, you know, the end times, they tend to talk about the tribulation,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they talked about the rapture, which we can go into at another point. But one of the things that there's a lot of theories about when this rapture happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's what people don't understand. Probably the biggest way people would say, you know, that this one world government has come
mm-hmm.
is actually it shows up with a leader and some kind of peace treaty. Now, why do you, if a peace treaty is most likely what starts the tribulation, why do you need a peace treaty?
Because there's been war.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So now you start to realize, okay, that wars and rumors of war is one of the key signatures of the end times. And that means that we could be talking about World War III, okay, before the tribulation even happens. And so this is why war cannot be taken out. I definitely favor the implosion, but I think we're going to see wars. Look at America where we're at. We're on the verge. Okay, we just got $200 million. How many million? 200 some we gave to the Ukraine. Our weapons.
Oh, over $100 billion.
Yeah, $100 billion of our equipment is now attacking Russians.
Yeah, okay? One of my patients was. You know, we treat a lot of military. In fact, on Sunday afternoon, I went over to treat the vets over at SOF Missions. It was something that we've been doing. And I was talking to a few of the vets, and they said that we're already training Ukrainian pilots to fly F-16s. So they're trying to get them up to date on the new equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So we're already at war, whether it's proxy or not. We're supporting this war and so forth, and they're propping this up. And I think that's the big question.
Well, the bottom line is, guys, this is the new Cuban Missile Crisis. Ukraine is on the border of Russia. And here they are, that's what Russia said, that they have, you know, weapons of mass destruction. They're saying they have these chemical labs
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that now you're going to join NATO. And how did we feel when that happened, when the shoe was on the other foot? Were we going to allow Cuba to have arms?
Mm-hmm.
No, we wouldn't. We'd go to war before that happened. So here's the shoe on the other foot. And again,
yep.
we have
Good
leaders.
Point.
Why in the world are these leaders not saying to Ukraine, okay, you're not going to be able to join okay, NATO, and you're not going to be able to be armed. But that's all they wanted. they would have given them peace. That's what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Russia's come in with these two basic clear initiatives saying that we would stop right now if you give us this.
Right.
But they're not giving that, which means now it's very obvious. NATO is now going to defend a country that lives right on the border of Russia. And how do you think this is going to go? Now let's talk about China. Mm. Right. There's now we have multiple reports.
Why did he point at me when he said that?
China.
Because I'm Asian.
Oh, gosh.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Wow, she just dropped a bomb.
Stop the Asian hate.
Asian
hate.
Stop it.
Yeah. I don't think you're Chinese, though.
I'm not. People said Chinese.
China. Now let's talk about China. No, you're right. China's starting to speak up about getting involved here, too.
Well, it is, and they are now saying that they're going to give weapons to Russia. Okay? Do you see
what's
happening?
Well, can you blame them? But we're giving weapons to Ukraine. You think they're not going to pal up with Russia?
Right.
And do you blame Russia when NATO is building up on their front door, just like you said? Just
exactly.
Like what caused our Cuban Missile Crisis? We couldn't have, you know, communism right on our 90 miles away from our country, right?
Right.
I mean, so I think that is the fallacy of this whole situation.
And we have another one, Hong Kong, folks. We have China saying, we're going to take it.
Hong Kong Fui?
Hong Kong Fui, mm-hmm. Right? And so, you know, we are in major conflict. Mm-hmm. We are in major conflict with not little people. We are in major conflict with Russia and China, and now they are teaming up against who? Us and NATO.
Of course. Of course. We're in a very precarious situation.
So we need to remember that just looking at basic things about Bible prophecy, the idea that it is a peace treaty, we means that maybe we just had some wars. And the most well-described wars that have not taken place involve Russia joining with the Islamic world and going against Israel.
Is that the Ezekiel war?
That's Ezekiel 38 and 39. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we get Russia, Gog and Magog, mm-hmm. okay, involved here, we could be talking about something exactly like that. And the problem is that when we have this alliance with Israel, mm-hmm. we need to remember that Israel could very well attack Iran. You see? And it would be, from the world's perspective, unprovoked. But from Israel's perspective, they're like, we cannot let these people have
nuclear weapons. Yeah, supposedly they're not far from it. But they exactly. keep on saying that. Oh, they're not far from it. They're not far from it. All of a sudden the missile goes up. Oh, I guess they weren't that far from it.
Now, if you don't think that something's going on, you know, 20 years ago, Russia didn't have any gas, any oil. But because of their alliances with, you know, Islamic countries, mm-hmm. that's why they were able to make the gas prices go up around the world. These pipelines going down have caused havoc in Europe. You see what I'm saying? You start to see these things happening. Again, the wars and rumors of wars that are talked about in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and then, of course, Luke 21.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're seeing these uprisings and revolutions and kingdoms being shaken that the Bible talks about. You know, we are seeing famines, and a lot of that's related to just the fact that the COVID itself. You know, we've seen these earthquakes go up. We've seen all these troublings and tremorings and shakings that the Bible talks about. We have the pestilence and the plagues. They're absolutely upon us. The Bible doesn't say they had to be created by God, does it?
Mm-mm.
You
no.
see?
Mm-mm.
So, you know, this is what the Bible seems to say is going to happen. There's going to be great signs in the heavens and the moon. We saw
sure.
those blood moons happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're still seeing things happen. And I think that could be a little bit of a tip to possibly some of the unidentified flying objects or signs in the sky. You start to see some of these things that the Bible could be referring to. We're starting to see an increase of these kinds of things.
What do you mean by that, Doc?
Well, we're seeing, if you just go online, you can really see that there's an explosion of things that they're seeing in and around above the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also see
like weather balloons?
Well, weather balloons and other things that are more dramatic than that.
Yeah,
right?
Lots of UFOs.
Yep.
You know.
Well, that's been going on for the last decade or so. It's accelerated, hasn't it?
I think just with the explosion of media, people are getting it on film. So there's really like great video that you can't understand what that is because we don't know. We don't even know what our own government's doing with that, right? So we have no idea. We don't know what games they're playing. But there's like there's one with a, I just showed Kevin this the other day. It was a storm cloud, thunder, lightning happened, and then this thing looks like it's hurled from out of the sky, like a body. But it would have to be so big for it to even look like that. And you see it coming down from the clouds, like just as soon as that strike hits, and then it immediately falls down. It's wild. So there's stuff like that happening that people, they have it
but
on
I,
film.
I'm a little, I understand, but I'm very skeptical in that for a few reasons. One is that there was this great thing that was put out like last week showing that supposedly it was on the northern horizon of the Earth up by the Alaska, and that the moon came up, and then it eclipsed the sun, and then it went down, and you see the sun come up. But the moon looked like this, like really, really huge. It looks, and a lot of people, this is on Twitter, and a lot of people was like, oh, no, that's fake. That, you know, and my concern is that with computer animation and so forth, they can make anything look real. I personally do not believe in UFOs. There's no such thing as aliens. I think if there was life outside our this Earth, God would put it in the Bible. It's not. It's not there. What I do believe is that there are demons that are outside this earth and in the invisible world that we do not see.
And what we're going to see, if you really start to look at your Bible, is you're going to see that the days of Noah were a time where there was tampering with human history and somehow relating to humans in a new way. And this is something that has been lost that we'll talk about, you know, in another day, because Michael Heiser goes into this at great length. But when you look at the end times, we're seeing a time where these powers, these spiritual entities, are allowed to communicate. Like, for example, the biggest obvious point to that is the Bible says that before all this stuff happens,
right,
that God, his angel, goes around the earth and seals everybody in their forehead. And why do they need a seal? Because what's being released is going to be able to interact with and tamper with and communicate with and maybe torment. Because when we talk about the abyss being open, and it talks about what these things are, these human-animal hybrids, right, that are coming out and somehow they're able to afflict the whole world. But they can't afflict those who what? Have the seal that God put in their foreheads. So we start to see there's this star that falls from heaven, this key to the abyss is given back by God, and that these entities who were put here and punished for what they did in the days of Noah are going to go back to doing what they did in the days of Noah, which is exactly why Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man.
Right.
So we're looking at this re-emergence of a great pagan age. And we're starting to see that, you know.
We're starting to see that.
You know,
I think we have a great emergence of a great pagan age now.
If you go back, and I'm trying to be, I want to say he was an aerospace engineer, Jack something. And he and who's the guy that founded the Scientology again?
Hubbard.
He and Hubbard, okay. And I believe they said that they conjured. Okay, they did a ceremony, and they conjured up the Whore of Babylon right here in America. And, of course, this is back in the 1940s. And so that's why they do these rituals, these chants, and all these things, so that, again, what's the demonic thing? That to lower that veil, okay, that's what the chanting, that's what the pharmakeia does, to lower that veil between our world and the spiritual world, so that these things can begin to what? Influence and tamper with humanity.
No, I don't really have much to say. I was just made me think of that Satanist guy. He says, like, really, all you need to do a spell is repetition,
right?
Intention,
right?
And a demon present, you know.
And they want to manifest themselves.
Sure, but that is why, like we say the chanting, but it's that repetition. You don't realize, like, that gives that power. And so, yeah, you saying that just reminded me of that. Like, yeah, that's all that's required. They said to make anything a spell,
right?
You know, and think about that. So, that, I mean, it still holds true.
But how do we have, when they do this repetition stuff, do we see the result of that?
Some people, yes, some people do. Not everyone's going to see it. You have to have a demon present. So the person that wants that to manifest or whatever it is they're doing to get that to happen, the demon has to be present for them. It doesn't have to be present for all of us. But us, like, just think about, like, the artists, music artists that are Satanists that we already know, Beyonce,
right?
So think of her music as a spell. Think of her songs as a spell.
It is a spell.
Clearly, yeah. The demon are present for her to make that even more successful, right? But the people, even people that aren't involved or that even know what they're doing, they're singing it over and over. They're part of the chanting.
Yeah, but the subtlety of Satan is coming as an angel of light, and everybody thinks Beyonce is awesome.
She's incredible. She said in
her
show
notes.
She was
awesome back when she sang in church.
Well, her liner notes.
Isn't that sad?
This recent album said it's dedicated to the fallen angels.
Yeah.
She didn't say demons. She said fallen angels.
Exactly. Well, they don't call it demons, and they don't.
Whatever.
They think Satan is the great.
And their unacknowledged contributions to the society and the world. You know? And people that don't really know any better are like, well, she said angels.
Right.
You know. But yeah, think of that. So anybody can do those chants, repetitions, whatever. But do they have? Necessarily, do they believe in that intention, and that's part of it? And also, do they have a demon present while they do it?
Yeah.
You know, well, if you can get that demon present, I guess, you know. But I
was just only asking that because I'm the skeptic. I'll be the skeptic junkie here today. I'm only ask these things just because.
I don't think this is skeptical. I think this is logical. It's spiritual.
Yeah.
This approach is a natural approach to take here, and all we're trying to do is not miss any other approaches.
Right. Right.
Right. This is the point. We don't know. There's speculation involved. But here's one thing that I think Christians don't understand. They don't understand how real the cult world is.
Right.
So when you go back to Paul and he meets the one lady and she, of course, is demonically possessed and she starts saying, these men are, you know, servants of the Most High God come to show us the way of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So here she was prophesying, and why did the whole city get in an uproar? Because people went there to be divined over. That's how in tune they were being demonically possessed, demonically influenced by this wicked spiritual world. And I'm telling you, with the gospel, it's the Holy Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit used to be in Zion, the holiest of holies was there in Zion, and then now that became a part of your body. That means everywhere you went, you took that territory for God. And the oracle That's right. The oracle of Delphi was dead in 320.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
The entire occultic spiritual world dried up. Okay, gone. They had to go completely underground. And it has largely been that way. And so this is why we have to know we've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
And that's why we're going to see this emergence of the occultic pagan rituals and world. And there's no doubt about it. We can see that in New York City, that they got one that's now dedicated to Baal. Look at the image.
Detroit has a Church of Satan.
I think there's Satanism is alive and well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely growing faster than the church, in America.
They have plans for 2,000 temples to Baal.
Yeah,
that is not a god that we've been talking about in a long
well,
time.
Well, maybe that's the new world religion.
Yeah, could be. For sure.
Maybe.
No, that's,
you know, because they're going to try to martyr us and get us out of the way, so because we're not going to agree with it.
Well, think about also the image that the United Nations has at their location. You see how that mirrors the beast, you know, that the Bible gives this description of how it amalgamates the lion, the leopard, the bear, and the eagle together.
Right.
So you start to see these things, you know, happening. So that's where we're going. We're going to see this explosion of something occult. And that could be, remember, it is the signs and wonders.
Right.
Things that means this is stuff people have never seen before. The Antichrist is going to come here with lying lips, right? But wonders that we've never seen before.
I think that's what we're just talking about, though. That's my point. And you know what I'm saying? I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but I think what we're seeing it already.
That's right.
We're in the deception.
Yeah,
they're already deceiving. Right. You used to talk about Beyonce with the chants and dedicating album. She's already got her following of and people under her spell.
I agree.
I mean, what did we see at the Grammys? What did we see at the Super Bowl? What do we see?
Yeah.
They're already under a spell. They cast a spell on these people. Why are we not under a spell? Because we have the Holy Spirit within us.
Right.
And going back to what you said about the Holy Spirit earlier, what is the number one job of the Holy Spirit? I know it came as a paraclete, right?
Right.
But to convict the world of sin.
That's right.
All right. So we're to be that. That's why Jesus said we are the salt and the light, is because we're to convict the world of sin.
There's no doubt.
The 11th commandment is not thou shalt be nice.
Right.
Okay. Jesus was not.
Did you hear that, sweetheart?
Jesus was not nice.
I'm not worried about that one.
Well, Jesus was not nice.
Don't really do that one.
Do you know what? Jesus was not a shampoo model, and he was not nice.
What?
All I'm saying is that I believe.
He had great hair.
I just believe that we still have to be open to the fact that we are likely have only seen a little bit of the supernatural world.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's going to continue to explode. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm saying. And so when we see these signs and wonders happen, we have to remember that that's not God. Remember,
right.
when Moses went to Egypt and he threw the rod down,
right.
Yeah, my sorcerers can do that.
Right.
That's not even impressive.
Right, until the rod ate their sorcerers.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Well, we talked about this in other episodes, how people that know about the supernatural, they know. They know it's real. They know it exists. But there's somebody that knows because it's everywhere. It's mm-hmm. in every TV show. It was Supernatural is full of it, the show.
Right.
But there's someone that knows that world is very real.
Yeah.
I do agree that those things are going to, because of everything that's going on, there's so many people worshiping it without even realizing it, and some with realizing it. But that stuff's going to manifest more frequently. And I agree that mm-hmm. most people don't want to admit that supernatural exists because it's too scary then, because then you absolutely have no control of it. But also then you have to be in a right relationship, right, to rebuke these things and save yourself from it.
Mm-hmm. Well, wasn't that the whole deception about the whole naturalism movement and evolution and stuff, mm-hmm. was that there was no God,
right,
and that everything was material and so forth, so there is no metaphysical, there is no spiritual
world.
And so they're not that's the magician shaking this over
nothing.
Here, but don't look at this over here, here comes the supernatural toys that they're going to put in front of them, and they don't even realize it because
right.
they're not looking, they're not aware of it.
Right. Or just get in with your goddess power with these goddess tarot cards
yeah.
that they sell with everywhere you go. You go into a beauty shop, it's in there. You go to a toy shop, there's all these toys that, you know, push mm-hmm. this kind of, it's wild.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
All the internet. And then you see the spell being cast out, like we've talked about in Transpiring. Mm-hmm. It's about the deception. It's about the deceived mind, going back to Romans 1, suppressing that truth, worshiping the creation rather than the creator.
Because it's the right thing to do. You're just appreciating nature.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay.
It becomes
Sexuality does start at 3 years old.
Right. I mean,
but they don't know if they're a boy or girl.
Right. They have no idea. But it's super important that we teach them. It's
but don't follow the science. The science says XX and XY.
That's not the science. Only Fauci determines he is the science.
Hey, Gallic, you're right. I did. It's what I do.
He's the science.
Man, I got him going today. Check him out.
Stir him up.
Sorry. So here's what I'm going to say. As we really go through this passage, it's really God telling us, Jesus is telling us, these are all the options.
Mm-hmm.
These are all the ways, the causes that they might bring into the world to help put us into the bondage that they want, this one world government that says is coming. Now, certainly some of this is certainly heaven inspired. We have the roaring of the sea and the waves. We have the persecution of the church. You know, I'm part of with the advisory board for Save the Persecuted Christians, and it is just astonishing.
Mm.
We've had record years multiple times here in the last decade and a half for how many Christians are being killed in the world. And then we have, of course, the false church now, that's the apostate church that the Bible warned us about.
Yeah.
Don't forget the false messiahs. We've had plenty of those as well, right?
David Koresh.
Yes.
Yeah, baby. He's going to open up the seven seals.
So the apostasy of the church and this backslidness, this betrayal, the lawlessness, you know, the false teachers, we have this incredible increasing of knowledge and the way we're able to travel. I mean, it's just astonishing. And then, but the big thing is that Jerusalem would no longer be trodden down. This rebirth of Israel was going to happen and is going to be the epicenter of ultimately some international attention. And so, you know, this is where we get down to the real brass tacks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
God has intervened in human history multiple times, and we need to talk about those on another time. But the bottom line is, he's coming back. He's going to intervene one final time.
Right.
And there's the
culmination of the end of the age.
And he is telling you when that happens. He mm-hmm. says, once that the gospel has been preached throughout the earth, that he's going to come back. It can't happen. Now, what does that really mean? If you preach the gospel to the whole world, then they have to do what in response?
Either accept it or reject it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which means he's not coming back when people have, somebody is still undecided. Mm-hmm. But remember, the mark of the beast is the synonymousness. It means that they're taking the mark of the beast is synonymous with not being able to respond to the gospel.
Or rejecting the gospel.
Exactly. Or rejecting mm-hmm. the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so when everybody is accepted or rejected, mm-hmm. or somebody is marked or unmarked, mm-hmm. these are the players that are still in play. But God's not going to leave anybody here undecided. But then it also, that other passage says specifically that because of the elect, mm-hmm. those days will be shortened. Okay, meaning that he's not going to let this go on so long that his elect, okay, are going to be killed, more than have to be, in order. That means we all have to plan on possibly hanging out here until all of our brothers and sisters absolutely. Have decided one way or the other. And what's the best way we can help them decide, Doc?
Yeah, we have. Well, number one, we need to preach the gospel. We need to endure to the end.
Absolutely.
And we have to have that mindset. And without getting into a whole separate episode, but, you know, that's why I think we really need to consider that without thinking that we're going to escape it. We have to realize that most likely we're going to have to endure a lot of it.
You know, when you look at Matthew 24 and Luke 21, mm-hmm. you get into some of those passages and you really can see when we stack what's happening in the world. Mm-hmm. And we remember this is the template that they're going to use mm-hmm. to control the world.
Yeah.
And you can't be controlled by fear.
Right.
And we just went through an entire fear-mongering a few years here where people were taking something that was clearly similar to what our Bible warned us not to take.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they controlled us. When I tell you about the other day when I was talking to those veterans, and they were, you know, you talk to a veteran, you know, they're very dedicated to the country and so forth. They serve for the rest of their life, and that's the way they are. But we were having this conversation, one of the guys and I, and I was telling him, he's like, well, yeah, well, we're going to do this, going to do that. I said, excuse me. I said, they took over the United States of America 2 years ago without firing a shot. I said, I love you patriots. I love you guys. I know you took an oath to defend the Constitution against foreign and domestic. I said, we have domestic terrorism. And they've taken over our country. And I think we need, as Christians, what we need to be is that light to awaken the people and get them to understand what we talked about today, Doc. I mean, that's really where our goal should be.
Now, a lot of, you know, some of the discussions we talked about today came from a book called Implosion by Joel C. Rosenberg. Again, it's a pretty old book, honestly, but he just gives you a nice template, and that's what we're trying to do today, just mm-hmm. give you a smattering of the kinds of things that the Bible warns us about. We are not supposed to be what? Ignorant
of the devil's devices, and we're not, and we're supposed to be aware. What would Paul say to the Thessalonians? You're not of the dark, you're of the day, and that we're aware. That the Bible says that, yes, it says that Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night, but that we're going to be ready and waiting. That was the whole thing of the parable of the virgins, right?
Right.
They were the some that were waiting, and they trimmed their lamps, and the other ones weren't ready, right?
Well, and then think about the earth. The Bible seems to refer to the earth as, you know, as a woman in travail, which means, you know, she's pregnant. She's about to give birth. And so, you know, we go through all these. I went through them really quickly, but just as an example, let's just take Earth Weeks. Oh, that's so vague. Oh, is it really? Listen to this. The top five most intense earthquakes of all recorded history have occurred since 1990. 9.0 or higher. Three of the top five have happened since 1990.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you the one in Turkey, wasn't it 9.3?
Exactly. And so you're starting to see here, you know, that we're seeing an amping up of mm-hmm. some things happening around the world. every single one of these can be amped up. And there's lots of books that show you the correlation about anything that happens in Israel, especially whether America supports or denies their ability to defend the given territory that God says that they're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the natural disasters following in exactly that sequence. So there's lots of amazing ways in which God, again, could use natural disasters. You think about Yellowstone National Park. If it blew up, it could be worse than almost any, all the other attacks everybody could throw at us.
Yeah.
So you start to look at all these things. And the one thing we're going to say here is this. I do see that it seems to be an implosion from what we're looking at right now. But again, when you look at Israel and you look at the Isaiah 9:10 effect, it talks about one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to this Queen of Babylon and you get to Revelation, and it talks about a really something that's done in an hour, right? And so you start to realize wars and rumors of wars, and this is something we can talk about. But there are nuclear weapons described in the Bible. And that's a really, really interesting passage that we can go through. So I do, I absolutely believe that we could see some pretty catastrophic things that would, as the Bible says, put fear in the heart of every man. But again, those that have hidden their lives in Him, we know who we are, and we know who we have really put our faith and trust, and we are persuaded that He is able to keep that which we have entrusted to Him against any day. Any day could be your day anyways.
Right. That's it. That could happen today, tomorrow, whatever. Alex, any thoughts on this? You've been awfully quiet over there, Alex. Come on, Alex.
Chip in. I was gonna say something.
Though, let's not put God in a box.
Nope.
I think what we really need to realize that God is sovereign. He is sovereign over His creation. And if you remember from the Book of Job, when it got to towards the end, and he asked Job, he says, "Where were you when I spoke the world into existence? Where were you when I created Leviathan? Where were you?" We are this. We're this little minuscule thing. God is huge. He's incredible. And I think we tend to, and He does control the weather. He does control. And I think He gets pissed off when people think that, we can do this, we can do that. We're affecting this. I said, God's the one that made the universe. I think He knows what He's doing.
He does, and He is sovereign, and He knew all of this is going to happen. He knows all the pieces. He knows all their moves. But the Bible did tell us that there were some moves made that where God had to intervene in something called a flood. And that flood wiped out every single person except for Noah and his family. And it's very interesting here. The reason why God comes back is because of this scenario. Everybody decides one way or the other.
That's true.
And Satan is in control, and he's going to go after the elect. But the big thing you need to understand is it says in Revelations that who can make war against the beast? What this is, we all know, with the technology that they have now, the normal average person could never have any ability. You cannot get any kind of weaponry together. People talk about their guns. Folks, when we get into the robotics and some of the stuff that's happening, I'm sorry, they have an entire host of drones. They can sweep a city. They can see around walls. They have infrared. They have all night vision.
Doesn't matter.
They absolutely, we have no, guns in this country are not going to save this country.
No, that's just a distraction.
It's just a distraction with the technology. So everybody knows we're in a situation where if anybody really did get control, we would never see another government. And that's what the Bible says. Who can make war against the beast? There is one person, and His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is the final chess move. This is the only thing that Satan has left, but God is coming back. And that is the thing that we haven't talked about enough. We haven't talked about how the gospel is advancing around the world.
That's right.
And we believe the prophetic side of this could really help people to see that what's happening in the world is prophetic, that they need to really consider Jesus. And I want to put this last thought in your mind. When Jesus comes back, the Bible says that the nations weep. Okay? I want you to think about another shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept.
Right at the Lazarus side.
When's the last time Jesus wept? He says He wept because they didn't recognize the day of their visitation.
It's true.
And He wanted to gather them. mm-hmm. like a hen gathers their chicks, mm-hmm. but they wouldn't have any of it.
Yeah.
What do you want to have some of? Do you want to be planted in the one thing that can never be changed? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what Satan's moves are. God knows the future. He told you this was going to be happening, and he told you this so that when it happens, you wouldn't have fear, Amen. That you would connect yourself to him, the unsinkable ship, the rock of our salvation. And this is who we are in Jesus Christ. This is why God gave us prophecy to warn us of Satan's plans and that Jesus will come back.
Yes, amen to that, Doc.
And let us keep pushing that gospel.
Alex?
She should have to pray, definitely.
Yay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for everyone out there listening. We just pray that you touch all of their lives, Lord, and guide us all. And we love you. Thank you. And have a great week, you guys. Bless you.
God bless you guys.
Lord bless you.
See, not